Welcome, friends, to the Soul Talk podcast, a show where we explore and uncover the path to the heart, amplifying your conscience. Join me as we meet incredible souls who are in this journey and learn from their experience and different methods that will make you vibrate your heart. Let's get into it. Hello, everyone. My name is Monica Ramirez, the Warrior of Love, and we're in Soul Talk. And today we have a very special friend that I just met in person in Sedona. And it was an amazing trip, but I did learn many things about yoga. Well, her name is Jill. I hope I don't massacre her last name. Is
Entiknap.
You know, guys, my first language is Spanish, so I have problems pronouncing certain last names. But let me tell you a little bit about Jill. Jill is founder of the Yoga Institute Online, and she also, you have your studio too, right?
I teach in a studio. I don't actually have a brick and mortar. And so my programs, I actually teach in different studios at different locations.
Okay.
Yeah. But
you have a program online that we're going to be talking then more about it, because you might be interested. I am for sure interested in that. But something that intrigued me more, because before I used to see yoga just as an exercise for your physical body, and that's it, you know, have more elasticity, you know, you have to move better and feel better with yourself, like any sport before. But something that learning from yoga, because I'm not an expert, learning from yoga and learning from you, it also helps us in our healing. Correct. Can you tell us a little bit about that, please, Jill?
Yes. So most people enter into the practice of yoga from the physical aspect. So they want to have more flexibility in their body. They want to have more mobility in their body. But what yoga really does is it helps us to create a stronger relationship with our body. And as we strengthen the relationship to our body, we're able to tap in and unlock the wisdom that is within our body. And so some healing modalities would refer to that as somatic healing. So that's different than yoga. But to me, because of the relationship that yoga creates, we become more aware of our body. We move our bodies in more mindful ways, in more intentional ways. We tap into what we feel from a physical sensation standpoint. We create that closer relationship with our body. And because of that, that's where healing can actually really come to the surface. Because there is a wonderful book called The Body Keeps Score by Bessel van der Kolk. And he talks about how our body actually holds emotions and trauma. And so as we move our bodies, we are unlocking these different parts of our bodies to bring awareness through physical movement. And so even though, yes, yoga can make our bodies flexible, it can make our bodies slim, it can make us feel better in our bodies, that's directly connected to how we feel in our minds, how we feel in our hearts, and how connected we are to our spirit, ultimately.
Wow. I do have many questions about that, but I would like to ask you one thing. What took you here to become a yoga teacher?
Yes.
I've been a yogi too, because that's also different between yoga and yoga and yoga.
Yes. So my first exposure, I was 19 years old and I did a really slow practice and I really didn't like it. I thought it was boring. And I was like, if I never do that again in my life, I'd be okay with that. Fast forward 5 years, I was going through a big heartbreak. And through heartbreak, one of my friends said, hey, let's go to this vinyasa yoga class. And I didn't know what that was at the time, but we went to the class. Vinyasa means breath to movement. And so it's much more active. It's much more movement in the body and mindful movement in the body. And it helps us to really like release and process the emotions in our lives. And so after the class, I went in like full of emotions, heartbroken, not knowing what direction my life was going. And it's not that one class made that heartbreak be taken away, but I definitely felt a lot better, good enough to continue to come back. And that was really what created me having the desire to continue on the yoga journey from that point. So something else about me, I'm also an empath and I feel other people's emotions. And so the emotional component of this practice has been the most useful tool that I have found to help me process and manage emotions. So it's no surprise that heartbreak or emotion would be the first thing that would lead me there, but really it would become this very impactful tool for my entire experience of life. Just because I feel emotions, big emotions in a very big way. So it took a while for me to make that connection, because first I really had to work through the heartbreak emotions in order to come out the other side and then look at the rest of my life and how I used and felt emotions and then how I processed those on my mat through my physical practice.
Yes, and that's something that everybody processes emotions in a different way.
Yes.
But something that I observed a long time ago, and many doctors talk about this, that if you're depressed or you are angry, you're in any emotional state that is deep, exercise is one of the best ways to actually make us release that emotion and getting out of our head and start putting ourselves in our body.
Yes.
And that is very helpful. But can you explain us a little bit more about what is the difference between a yoga teacher and a yogi? Because it's very different.
It is. So, well, really how I simplify being a yogi is the act. Anyone who practices yoga to me is a yogi, because a yogi is a verb, an action to be a yogi. But there's so much more to it, because for me, I see being a yogi as someone who cares deeply about others. Like, the practice ripples out into all of the different facets of life. For me, being a yogi is wanting to take care of Mother Earth. For me, being a yogi, it's not just about the actions on my mat, it's about the life that I lead off of my mat. So a yoga teacher or a yoga practitioner, they come to their mat or they come to their class and they teach. A yogi actually brings their yoga out into the world. Another example would be when we are in a heated moment at work and we know to step back and take a couple deep breaths because we learned what breath work was on our mats, and then we apply it to moments when we're off of our mats. That's truly what a yogi is. It's someone who doesn't only practice yoga in the studio or in the classroom or on their mat. It's someone who lives their yoga off of their mat, extends compassion, extends kindness, extends awareness, extends just caring, that caring energy that we cultivate in our practice on our mats, and it translates to scenarios and circumstances off of our mats.
And just because also yoga or a yogi, it is a way of living, kind of
yes.
like Buddhism. And that's where people get confused. It is not a religion. It is more about a way of observing and being in your daily life, correct?
Yes. Yes. I look at it more as a philosophy than a religion.
Yes.
So a philosophy is just a way of thinking. It's a way of being. It doesn't have to be anything that's connected to any kind of organized religion. It's just a way of thinking or a way of being. And to me, yoga has connected me to my inner teacher and my inner guide. And that's what leads me to be who I am off of my mat. And that's how it is a way of being more connected to that deeper spiritual space inside of myself being connected to the light that is inside of me that shines the path forward. And that can unfold and blossom and manifest in so many different ways. Whether, like I said, it is being a steward of Mother Earth and making sure you recycle and take care of the waste that you produce, or whether it is the way that you pause and look the clerk at the store in the eye and really acknowledge them as a human, it can translate off of your mat in so many different ways.
In a way, it takes us out of your head and take you out of your heart, and you're in the present moment, correct? Because you're seeing and hearing your body, and that will bring you back your conscience to your body.
Yep.
Every time I explain to people that we get out of our body, like, but how? How am I going to get out of my body? Like, our conscience leaves. So bringing you back to your body is very important, because that's where the transformation can occur. And if we're out of our body, that is not going to happen.
Yeah, I really think about being connected too much to the future or too much to the past. When we're in our body and we're in that present moment, we aren't worried about the future or the past. We're actually here and now. And the physical sensations that you can tap into in the body can help anchor us, as well as the breath. Breath work is it is such an important piece of our yoga practice. So, and that breath work, I mean, we don't have to be in a class or around other people to be conscious and aware of our breath. But to me, our breath is what anchors us into the present moment. It anchors us into the here and now. And that is one of the most beautiful gifts that yoga offers us, is that breath awareness.
And there are different kinds of breath. And I know that everybody breathes, but not everybody do it consciously.
Yes.
And my question is, I know there are different kinds of breath that we do, that it is for healing different parts of ourselves.
Yep.
That, can you explain a little bit more?
Definitely.
About
sure. So, for example, we have the breath of fire. And the breath of fire builds our core strength. And when we feel strong in our core, that's where our life purpose exists. That's where our willpower exists, is when our core is strong and stable and we're living from that space. Now, when we think about that from a physical perspective, when our core is strong, we can move through life with strength, with confidence. When our core is weak, we're more at risk for injury. We're more at risk. We're more vulnerable. And so breath of fire, it builds our inner heat. It stokes that inner passion. And breath of fire is simply breathing in and out of the nose and pulling the belly button toward the spine. So that's one example of the breath and how that can build and change and affect our life, because it changes and affects our body. Now, another great breath is called square breath. And square breath is great if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if your nervous system is feeling dysregulated. And what square breath is, it's an inhale for the count of four, a pause for the count of four, an exhale for the count of four, a pause for the count of four. Inhale four, pause four, exhale four, pause four. So that is, it's a very calming breath for our nervous system. It's a very calming breath for our emotional self. And so, and we can do that through consciousness, through awareness, anytime, anywhere, whenever we're feeling we need that. When it comes to just wanting to ground, deep belly breathing is a great grounding exercise. And so that's just where you take deep inhales and exhales through the nose and you force that breath into the belly. And then you guide the air out intentionally, fully emptying out that part of the body and letting all of the air go. So through that conscious connection, you're really grounding your energy. You're really grounding yourself down. So if there are moments in your life where you're really in your head and your thoughts are really scattered, you can connect to that deep belly breath and ground yourself in the moment, to get out of being up here with the ping-pongy thoughts and down into the body. So those are three examples where we can use that in the moment. And it doesn't have to be that you have 15 minutes or an hour of time. It literally is useful anytime that you need it. Because like you said, we breathe every minute of every day. We are always breathing, but we don't often consciously breathe and use the breath to our benefit. And we really have that opportunity. And so on our mats, when we're in our yoga practice, the teacher is speaking you through, guiding you through breath practices, breath awareness, so that in the hopes, when you're off of your mat and you're out in your life, you can remember, oh, in that moment when I was feeling this way, I used this breath and I was able to feel this way. And that's why there's a variety of different yoga practices. Some yoga practices are actually designed to dysregulate our nervous system, to bring our heart rate up, just like as if we were in that fight or flight response. So in that fight or flight response, our heart rate increases, our pupils dilate, and we need to be able to bring ourselves back if there isn't that actual danger that we need the fight or flight response. So a yoga practice that brings the heart rate up to intentionally calm the heart rate back down through breath awareness is going to help us in that moment off of our mat in that flight or fight response, bring our heart rate back down. We often think that the body controls the breath, but it's actually the other way around. The breath controls the body. So even as a runner, if you're out running and you got your heart rate up and that's your intention, you can do the Ujjayi breath. And the Ujjayi breath is really going to help regulate the heart rate when it starts to increase. The Ujjayi breath is when we do inhales and exhales through the nose and we press our tongue against the roof of our mouth, creating an audible sound in the back of our throat. So if I'm having to run up three flights of stairs, like when I lived in the third story apartment in an apartment building with no elevator, I would use the Ujjayi breath as I was running up the stairs and I would get to the top and I wouldn't feel winded because it's regulating the body. So that breath awareness helped me in that moment. So even in other exercises, other things where you're actually intentionally bringing the heart rate up, you can use the awareness of the breath and these different breath practices to regulate the body again.
Gosh, you should tell me that tip when we were hiking over there in Sedona. I was like, I'm dying.
You did amazing. You did amazing.
Like, I was dying. But she went up there to a hike, actually very, very high, in just a second. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then I'm back. I'm like, oh my gosh, how she did it. Oh, now you know how she did.
Yeah, the amount of energy was just, it was incredible.
Yes. Yeah,
such a special place.
Do you know what, why there are so many different kinds of yoga and what is the difference between them? Because I always get confused, like, oh, do I take this class of this kind of yoga or that class? Okay. What is, how even we choose? Because we don't know in reality that all the different kinds and what is the best for us.
Yeah. So there's actually, my understanding is there's 27 different lineages. So if we think of a forest, there are 27 different trees and every tree has its own roots. And so it can get really confusing as to what type do I do? What's the best for me? What do I need? And I personally teach five different styles of yoga, and I've chosen them very intentionally. And so instead of focusing on all 27, I'll just give an overview of those five to kind of focus there. And I could probably speak to a couple others as well. But different types of yoga were designed for different outcomes with different intentions in mind. So if we think about vinyasa, and like I said, vinyasa translates from Sanskrit into English as breath to movement. Now, when we move the body to the breath, we are increasing the mobility and the energy within the body. We're also increasing our breath awareness. So those are the benefits and the intentions of a vinyasa practice. It's a very physical practice. Whereas I also teach Kundalini, and Kundalini is much more spiritual. It's much more transformational. It's much more focused on that inner relationship to your spirit and your soul. It's also great for managing your emotions. And so with Kundalini, it's still physical, but it's less physical. Most Kundalini practices are actually done seated, like in an easy seat with your legs crossed. A lot of them, or in hero's pose where you're sitting, your bottom to your heels and your knees are bent underneath of you. There are some Kundalini practices where you're standing, but for the most part, you're seated, and it's all about observing the mind, the heart, and moving the body breath to movement, but it's less full body movement and more energy movement. So Kundalini is really focused on the subtle body energy, the energy moving through the body, than it is the physical body energy, like our vinyasa practice. So then we have restorative yoga. Now, restorative yoga, the intention behind that is truly to relax. It is relaxation. And so we use props to help support the body into full relaxation. Now, why do we do that? We actually do that to shift into the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and digest nervous system. And that nervous system and that state allows for healing and recovery in the body. And it doesn't matter if the healing and recovery is intentional. And what I mean by that, in order for us to grow our muscles, we have to tear our muscles and then they repair. And that's how they actually get bigger. And so in this rest and digest state of our restorative practice, that repairing of our muscles can happen with more ease. The body can only heal at rest. That's why when we get sick, we get tired, because the body actually needs rest to heal. And so in our restorative practice, we're tapping into the parasympathetic nervous system, and we are allowing and creating the space for that rest, the intentional rest. It's different than when you're sitting on the couch watching a television program. This is the mind is quiet, the body is still, and there are less to no distractions. So it's a different kind of rest. It's a deeper level of rest. It's a more intentional level of rest. Then I also teach a strength class, and many studios call it Sculpt. And what it is it's a vinyasa practice with weights added in. And so our body does need to be challenged. We want strong muscles. We want toned muscles. Our muscles want to be strong. And so and it doesn't take a lot. I use 3 pound weights. That's it. 3 pound weights in my weighted class. You can use 1 pound weights. You could use bottles of water. You could use cans of beans. It doesn't have to be anything, but any amount of extra resistance in the body is going to help tone the muscles. And that's what we want. That's what we want. But it's not about building big, bulky muscles like weight training. It's about building long and lean muscles. So that's what the strength yoga is about. Again, it's very physical. It's a physical conditioning. And then I teach yin. And yin is a really special practice too. And yin has 4 components to each posture. The first component is you come into the pose and you feel sensation in the body and you stop. So you don't bring yourself into the fullest expression, the fullest, deepest stretch. You just come to a place where you feel something and you pause. Then you be still. The only reason that you move from that point is if the body invites you to come deeper or you feel pain. You don't ever want to feel pain. So when your body gives you that indicator, you want to come out and adjust accordingly for your body. The third piece is time. Each posture we hold for 3 minutes, let's say. So we're there for a while. So what that creates is awareness in the mind, because we slow down, we connect to the body, and we become the observer. And we start observing the thoughts that are connected to any sensations that we're feeling physically. And so let's say that in my body, I come into a low lunge and I hold that low lunge for 3 minutes. And in that low lunge, I feel stretching and tightness in my hamstrings, because our hamstrings in our culture are chronically tight. So most people in a low lunge will feel something in that area. That's actually part of the reason we do it. Now, I might have a story, a habitual story in my brain that says, you are not good enough. You're not flexible enough. You can't do this. And because I stay there and I observe those thoughts, I'm able to raise my awareness as to the thoughts that are connected to the physical sensations that I feel. What are those habitual stories that I'm telling myself about my body? The fourth piece of any yin pose is the release. And so that release is where we organically and gently move our body after that 3 minute hold, where we're actually empowering the body to ask for what it needs in that moment. And so if it needs stillness after, that's okay. If it needs a little bit of gentle movement, that's okay. But we're rebuilding the connection, the relationship, and the autonomy of the body, creating the space for the body to be able to ask for what it needs and receive it. So that's the beautiful piece of yin. So yin is, most of the postures are down on the floor. And really, you only do, let's say in an hour class, you do maybe 8 poses, that's it. But you hold, you breathe, you're still. And so all 5 of these types of yoga offer something very different. And that's the same thing with the 27 different trees in the forest. They all have roots and intentions in different things. So let's say that you're like me and I was 19 years old and I went to a restorative class and I thought, I want to move my body. This is stupid, because that is what I thought. Well, what I really needed was a more physical vinyasa practice at that time in my life, because I wanted to move my body, because when you're in your younger years, you have a lot of energy and it feels good to move the body. Whereas as I have aged, different things feel good in my body. I still love my vinyasa practice, but I equally love my restorative practice. And I equally love my kundalini practice, and I equally love my strength practice and my yin practice. So that kind of gives you an idea of the different types of yoga, not all of them, but you can see that each type offers a different intention.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yes, and this is very, very interesting. So like that, I will know more about what it is, what I'm searching for. And what's the best one that I can actually, it will be for me. So this is very, very interesting. And something that you brought it, you talked in the beginning, it was about the somatic.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is important to, even to any of the healers that we work with energy, with people and releasing any kind of different emotions, we need to do some somatic work with our clients so like that we can anchor that in our body. But how do you anchor, I know you talk about it a little bit, how you anchor that those emotions in with yoga, but what parts that you use in somatic in yoga so like that you anchor all that knowledge and wisdom with the yoga?
So it's not that I even as a teacher speak to it. The yoga itself brings it forward. So what I mean by that is there is a posture in yoga called half pigeon. And in half pigeon, it's a deep hip opener. And it's said that our hips hold a lot of our emotions. And so as we come into this hip opener, so let's say our hips are tight to start. And let's say that they're tight because of the energy of the emotions that are in there. Now, as we come into this posture, our tissues are literally stretching. Literally, our tissues are opening. And as our tissues open, this, I have cried so many times in half pigeon, especially when I'm really experiencing emotional times in my life. And I know that it's because in that pose, my tissues are opening. And if we say your issues are in your tissues and the tissues are being open, well, that emotion is going to come flooding through. And I just release. I just know that when anything emotional comes to me on my mat, I just let it go. No one else, and this is the beauty of like a yoga studio and holding space as a teacher. No matter what experience people have, it is okay. Someone on their mat might be giggling in their mind because of something that's being activated in their body. And the person next to them is having a complete meltdown and crying, releasing whatever it is they need to release. Both are okay. Both are great. Both are a part of the practice of yoga because we're getting into our bodies. So to me, when I think about somatics and I just think about moving the body and moving energy through the body, that's what yoga does. And it doesn't matter if you are in a restorative class and you're lying in reclined butterfly, for example. So your knees are open, you're lying back, you're in this reclined butterfly. There's still energy, even though it's not an active practice, you're still opening up the energy centers within the body, within the hips. You're opening up through the hips, even though it's very gentle. And so as you're opening, whatever is in there, if it needs to be released, it comes to the surface and you're able to process. The same thing in a vinyasa practice, a more physical practice. Yes, you're moving your body more, but the same thing is happening in your body. You're opening up these energy centers and allowing for whatever emotion, which I believe is energy in motion, emotions can come through and come to the surface, and we're able to process. And to me, that's what somatics is. It is moving energy through the body. So I'm not saying that yoga and somatics is exactly the same, but I am saying that we can use, just like in somatics, we can use somatics to move energy through the body, move emotions through the body. We can also use yoga to move energy and emotions through the body. And the thing is it happens whether we want it to or not. As long as you show up to your mat, you're going to move whatever needs to be moved at that time. And we really don't have control. Like I can tell you from my own experience that those times that I shed tears on my mat, I didn't show up to class and say, man, I really hope I cry on my mat tonight. No, I just moved my body and there was a release that occurred. And I was able to just surrender to whatever that release was.
That is really good to know too. It have not happened to me, but maybe it's the lack of consistency that's why it haven't happened to me yet. Mm-hmm. That's something that hopefully we can change and shift.
Well, also, you may not have felt like you were being held in a safe space in order to allow for that release to happen. So yes. As a teacher, if someone, they know, I assure them every class that whatever experience you have on your mat is okay. Now, if it doesn't feel okay for you to have an emotional response, you're not going to have it. So as a teacher, it's my job to make sure that people feel safe in the container that's being created to have whatever experience in their body that they're experiencing. And that physical experience translates to a thought process or an emotional experience, or maybe even a spiritual experience, whatever it is for them. So that could be in your experience of yoga, maybe that container, you didn't feel safe enough to be able to have that kind of response. If I could add something second,
please.
For people who are just starting out, the physical aspect is very distracting because you're thinking to yourself, what am I doing in my body? Am I doing this right? You're very in the physical experience of it. But once you've started coming and once you have the physical down, and what that means is you come into a pose and you don't have to think about every single thing you're doing in your body. After you get to that point, then you can sink down. And once the physical part is taken care of, you can sink down and you can start to be aware of your breath. Now, once you have the breath in place, it sinks lower, it sinks deeper, and you can start to observe your thoughts. Once the thoughts are there, you can sink deeper and start to become aware of the emotions. And then once the emotions are there, you can sink deeper and you can connect to more joy and more bliss and that inner spirit, that inner radiance. And so when people are first starting out, the physical component it's foreign. You're doing something new. You're learning something new. And so until you get familiar, then you start to sink into these deeper layers of the experience of the practice.
This is very, very interesting and very, very informative. That I wish it was more explained, because many of us, we go to, oh, they are teaching yoga. Okay, let me go and register and let me try it out. But it's like, okay, that's why it's the lack of consistency. Because nothing like this, it was being explained that it was going to really help us. Because I have friends that are yoga teachers, and they says, oh, this is, you're going to, let's say, sciatic. Sometimes I have problems with sciatic. It's like, oh, yoga can take it away. And yes, it do, but they never explain it how or why. And this is very, very helpful. I am a firm believer that all our sickness are psychosomatic, that we provoke it ourselves. So if we wanted to release precisely any sickness that we had, because I used to have lupus, RA, and fibromyalgia, and I healed myself through the emotional part. But like something that, like you said, that it is very true, our emotions get trapped in our body. Even if you release it from the emotional part, that doesn't mean they're released from my body.
Yep.
And that's why it is, this conversation is blowing me out, because it is so important to talk about those things. Because yes, you can work it in the emotion and then even the energetics. But it is important to actually have a good instructor, yoga, that can help you to release it from your physical body.
Yeah. Yeah. Something that has, like, this really blew my mind when I realized this. So my belief is that we're spirits here on a human experience. And we aren't here to learn how to be a spirit. We know how to be a spirit. We will never not be a spirit. We're actually here to learn how to be a human. And that means connecting and taking care of this physical self, this physical being. That means learning how to connect to the mind and to really not even control it, but just use it to its fullest potential, to understand how the mind works. And it's the same things with our emotions. We're here to feel our emotions to the fullest spectrum. That's a part of what brings color to this human experience. And so if we had no emotions, we'd be numb and everything would be gray. There would be no beautiful, vibrant yellow, and there would be no depths of the dark black. So we're here to learn how to be human. Our spirit is always going to be inside of us. Our spirit is always going to shine through us. We're here to learn how to deal with this human experience of our physical self, our mental self, our emotional self. The spirit is just ever present. It's always there. It's the distraction. It's learning how to be human. We are here to learn how to be human.
And something that I notice a lot in our community, in the spiritual community, it is they just wanted to feel good, but they are not willing to step into their own, they only want to feel the light and love, but not the deep emotions where they're getting stuck. Because it is painful and scary sometimes to dip in there. And there are many ways to do it. But like I was mentioning, I work in the energetics and the emotional. But even if I go deep dive in myself to heal my shadows, my own shadows that every single human have, not only the people that love and like, they have their own shadow. And
me too.
Yes, all of us, every single human being is like, we are traumatized being human. Just birth.
Yep.
Just giving birth, that is a trauma. But understanding how we can work it out in our physical body. This is so important too. And I just wanted to make that parenthesis because I don't care if you want to be in the love and light part all the time, you're not doing your work.
Yeah, yoga, like the physical piece, the physical movement of the body, that was the missing piece for me. I've been a spiritual person. Like I was raised on spirituality. Literally my whole life, I was raised to believe in that inner spirit, that inner light. And the physical, like taking care of the physical self, it was the missing piece. If our physical body is not healthy, our connection to our spirit is more challenged because we're having to focus on taking care of the physical self. When our physical self is healthy, it's so much easier to connect to that spirit that's within us because we have more energy to do our dharma, to do our work, to do what we're called to do. So the physical, yeah, it was the missing piece for my spirituality. And that's why I started the school. That's why I started my yoga school, because I thought to myself, what better way to get this information out into the world than to create more teachers, than to empower more people with this knowledge who are going to attract and share this information through their own lens. And I may say something and you may connect with the way that I say it. I may say something and you may not connect with the way that I say it. Someone else could say the same thing, but somehow you connect to how they say it. So what better way to get this information out there than to create more teachers? And that's why I created the school, because I was like, more people need access. And I am not enough. Like there needs to be more and more and more people who have this knowledge and who are sharing this information.
Why do you think there are many yoga teachers that I have met that they do not talk about this part of the spirituality? Because they're too afraid for the rejection. Because I know there's a backsplash for all the spiritual community. And the moment that we're even talking about source, people close down. Forget about talking about higher self or multidimensionality and this and that, because you will cut the half of the people that you know. But many of the yoga teachers, they're not talking about these things. They're just talking about the poses and how you do it right and how you do it wrong. And see you the next week or see you tomorrow. But they don't go into there. They don't make safe spaces where people can release their emotions. Why? Why is that happening?
Well, I don't know for certain, but my interpretation, okay, so I live in a place, a very religious area, and I have had to shift the way that I communicate. And how I've done that is through the physical. I focus on the physical. And I believe that the physical brings the awareness to the mental and the emotional and the spiritual itself. I believe that the only way to get people to be into it, to get them to participate, is to focus on the physical. And so that I believe that through the physical, the pathway to healing, it is shown to them. Mm-hmm. So if someone comes to me and they say, hey, I want to understand more about this, I am happy to have the conversation. I'm happy to create the container and hold the space, and I will have whatever conversation that they want when they come to me. But when it comes to the space that I'm in, I focus on the physical. And I feel that that is the most expansive way. I use that word. That's the most expansive way. That's the most inclusive way to get people to be open to trying the practice. So I get now, the second piece may be, it's hard to know what every teacher's spiritual depth is. So like I said, I was raised in a spiritual way. And it literally is, it is every bone in my body. It is every fiber in my body. But because of that, it's easy for me to communicate in many different ways, in many different groups, and many with many different ideas. And it isn't until someone comes to me and says, "Hey, I'd like to know more about this." Now, something that I do speak to in my class is I speak to sensation within the body as being the language of the body. So I raise their awareness to that. Sensation is the body's language. When we feel something physically, that is the body speaking to us. That is the body's language. So I use that terminology. I also say that to me, yoga is a practice of self-love. So every time you come to your mat, you're filling up your cup of self-love. That's another very easy way to bring people into that awareness. What else do I really use? I have them consciously breathe and bring that awareness in. Maybe not all training programs are designed in the same, and maybe not everyone has the spiritual understanding. So I can't really speak to exactly why, but it could have something to do with where people are and they want it to be received, and they want it to land, for students to continue to come back to class.
So you're training also people to become a yoga teacher. That's what I understood too.
Yes.
Okay.
So, I have a 200-hour program and a 300-hour program, certified by Yoga Alliance. So Yogi Institute is under the larger umbrella of Yoga Alliance, and Yoga Alliance is the largest governing body, for yoga schools and yoga teachers on earth. So it is globally accepted, it's globally connected. And I had to submit my curriculum for my school. They went through and fine-tooth combed it. They sent it back to me and said, "You need to add this or change that or clarify this." I did it. I went through the whole process. So now I have two teacher training programs that are available through Yogi Institute, but under the overarching umbrella of you can become a Yoga Alliance certified instructor.
And people can have to do it online or they can do it in person.
So I have an online program for the 200 and the 300 hour. I also have one live session for the 200 hour scheduled in February. So February and March, it's a 9-week program. And if you are doing that, you can tune in live on Zoom and still be live with the group. Or you could be at the studio in person with me for that training. So I have, and all of my programs are hybrid programs. And what that means is there are components that are online that you do at your own time, and then there are components that are live. So even with the fully online 200-hour program, there are live office hours where you log on to Zoom, I am on Zoom, you ask me questions, you get the support from me personally, so that I know that the curriculum is landing. I know that you're getting what you need, the support you need. So even the online programs have a live communication component to it, because I really want people to understand the curriculum, and I want to make sure that I'm as available as possible for people to be able to ask questions. And those questions can be, how would you cue this pose? Or those questions can be, how do I communicate with my student a deeper spiritual concept? No matter what the question is, I want to make sure that I'm available for my teachers and my students. So there are those two types, like, so you can do it fully online and just have the office hours live on Zoom, or you could do it live in person, or live on Zoom. And then That's the 200-hour program. And just to be clear, in the yoga industry, standard is a 200-hour certification required in order to be able to teach this practice safely to students. So a 200-hour certification is the industry minimum. And then I also offer a 300-hour training program, which is more advanced. And so at the end of the full training, you would be a 500-hour registered yoga teacher. If you've already taken a 200-hour program with another company, with another school, you can still take my 300-hour training program and just deepen your understanding of everything. And that training program is also hybrid. So how that one's working in 2024 is the 300-hour is 12 modules over 12 months. A module is released on the first of each month. You have the month to complete it. Some modules are 10 hours. Some modules are 75 hours. And again, I'm available for office hours. And there is a live component on the first Sunday of each month where you can either be in person or you can be live on Zoom. And I go through the module and everything that's required for the module with students. So I'm really trying to make this information accessible for people who are interested, who want to teach, who want the knowledge. And for me, just a little bit of personal information. When I took my first 200-hour training program, I never intended to teach yoga, never. I just knew how good I felt doing yoga, being a student, and I wanted to understand why I felt so good. I wanted to understand why my mind was so clear, why I had this like yogi glow around me. And that's what led me to take the training program. And that's the thing. If you're thinking, and now fast forward all of these years later, thousands of hours of teaching and training and starting a school, you never know where the path can lead you.
Yeah.
And maybe you take the training and it's something that you just do for you and it benefits and deepens your own connection to your own body and your own practice. Or maybe you're inspired and sparked and you want to offer it to others, and that's amazing too.
And also you talk about that you have in a class online too.
Yes. Yeah. So every morning at 6 a.m. Central Time, I teach a 30-minute class. And again, I went through those five different types of yoga. And so Monday is Vinyasa, Tuesday's Kundalini, Wednesday's Restorative, Thursday's Strength, and Friday's Yin. And to me, this offers a whole wellness program, a whole well-being program, because every type of yoga is connected to a different or connected with a different intention. And to me, this program creates balance because there are physical practices, there are spiritual practices, there are emotional practices, there are mental practices, and this creates an overall wellness of your being. And so I have an online library where if you don't want to get up at 6 a.m. and do the classes with me live, there is an online library of hundreds of yoga classes, all in these same categories. There are 30-minute classes in the online library, and there are 55-minute classes in the online library. So you decide. I think there are a couple 60 and 70-minute classes too for anybody who's really feeling like they want to spend some time on their mat. But I really created these online classes, like I was guided to offer it in this way for this overall balance within our being, this overall well-being within us. And the monthly membership for that is $29 a month. So it's very reasonable. And that's unlimited. So it's there. Yeah. And there is a sixth class that I teach, and it's called a fusion. And I bring in components of all five classes and put it into one class. So basically we do 5 minutes of each type of yoga. So it's like five mini classes in one class. So that's another one that I do too.
Wow. No, I definitely am interested. I need to start doing this. And Maybe I've been even thinking about the becoming a yoga instructor, but I believe I should start first from the classes. Let's build up my body, and then we can go to something else to be teacher of yoga. Because obviously, with the physical condition, I don't have it since COVID, and many of us we start teaching online. We move less our body. We are always behind the computer. And our body's not even used to moving anymore. Let's get the body first moving for some of us, and then after that, it will be very good to learning more about becoming an instructor of yoga. That will be very, very nice for anyone that is interested. Jill is also in Dallas. I believe that's where you're teaching, right?
So I live in Granbury, which is a small town outside of Fort Worth, Texas. So I think I'm even out of I'm even considered out of like the DFW Metroplex because I'm about 45 minutes, I think like southwest of Fort Worth. Yeah, so I do teach in a studio locally as well in person. I teach outdoors as well. I just love to teach. I'll do one-on-one classes. I will teach for a private. I've done wedding parties, I've done bachelorette parties, I've done couples retreats. I've done anything that anybody would like. I'm like, yep, I'm doing it. I'm in.
I will be posting under this video her information. So if you want to sign up for any of her classes, because I believe we all need to release all these emotions from our body because they're trapped in there. Because it doesn't matter if you do the inner work. It doesn't matter if you even remove it with you go with a healer and they bring a magic wand sometimes and like, let me remove all these things. You need to remove it from your body.
Yep,
That is very important.
it
Jill,
is.
it has been really my pleasure to have this conversation. I have learned a lot today. And I will be posting your link for everybody. So you want to register to any of these classes because I believe you already find a very good teacher. Thank you so much, Jill. I really appreciate it. And to all our viewers, did this help you? Please give us a like and share it with your friends. We will appreciate that very much. And thank you for being in Soul Talk.